Le chien. I asked Andrew tonight, oh, can I have some water? And he said to me, I'll get the hose. Right. Tonight's going to be a little different, fellas. I'm going to share some of my life story. Not all of it. It's not that nice, but I'm going to share some. And I've titled it, Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? And while I share my life story, I'm also going to bring scripture in and talk about that scripture. So please don't switch off, because I want the seed of God to come into your heart. Whatever seed God's going to give you tonight, protect it and guard it. You won't get everything, but there is something here for everyone. Okay. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's the title of it. Did you know that the Lord is a nothing specialist? Where there is no life, where there's pain, no hope, death, darkness, a sense that you are wandering, a walking dead, did you know that Jesus can bring life to that person? He can give you hope. And that was my life. Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I was born in 1947. I was born in Mount Eden Prison. I don't know how long Mum was in there for. I can't remember. I was just born. But apparently it was quite a while. And the other thing is, I'm an illegitimate child, and I've never known my dad or my dad's family, my biological family. But, you know, while I was preparing this part, the Lord gave me Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I want to say to us tonight, people who are like me, illegitimate, or they've come from a rape or something like that, or Mum was hoping for a boy and long pops a girl, or whatever the case may be. I just want to say to us, first things first, we're not an accident. Don't hang your head. I hung my head for so long, and I had no respect for myself. I had no respect for anybody at all, because I knew the way I was born. And it wasn't until I heard someone say, I gave my heart to the Lord, and I heard someone say, we're not an accident. And I thought, you're joking me, mate. Until I heard Jeremiah. And I want to say to us, all that are sitting here tonight, God knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. He knew your name. Remember a couple of weeks ago I was preaching, when I gave my heart to the Lord said to me, Barry, you are free. I understand that because he knows my name. He knew my name. He didn't say, hey, pal, you're free. He didn't say that. He called me by my name. And we're not accidents. We can hold our head up high because the Lord already knew about us even before we were born. He even set us apart before we were even born. He even set me apart. Man, I tell you what, I wouldn't set me apart. But he did. He did. Okay. So all of us here tonight, God knew your name. I was trying to think what my name meant. I may have this wrong, so please have some grace and mercy for me. I think it means spearhead and leader. Yeah. That's what it means. A leader and a spearhead. Watch out, Andrew. Okay. I remember me and my brother were sent to some sort of boys' hostel in the South Island. And we were there for 2 years. And every morning for those 2 years, somehow these two men and a lady picked on me. They would drag me out of bed and whip me with this cane. Every morning I'd get this hiding with this cane. Every morning for 2 years they did this. And at any rate, after that, I don't know how I ended up in foster homes, and then somehow I ended up home. But I didn't know the people. They were my half-sisters and brothers, but I actually didn't know them. Hallelujah. And one day I was a little fella, and I was leaning against the wall, and I was sitting down, and Mum was in the kitchen, and her boyfriend was there. And I heard him say to Mum, "If you leave him alone with me, I'll kill him." And I thought, wow. And I was only young, and I thought, I'm going to kill you first. Sorry, kids. I'm going to kill you first. And for 7-8 years, I planned to end this man's life before he ended mine. He hated me, and I certainly didn't like him. Now, what I want to say is, words are powerful. That was a seed from Satan, and it was death. It was death. And I'll tell you what, that destroyed my life, because what happened, I didn't understand it, but I do now, a murdering spirit got into my life. Because when I was in the apostolic and poor old pastor Owen Riley come to pray for me, I picked him up and he pew, like that, and he come back again, like this, and we're having this little tossy game. And about when the church finished, the elders gather around, and I thought, I'm in big trouble here. And we went upstairs, and they prayed. It was 1:30, 2:00 in the morning, I think, when I got home. But one of the elders said this, "You have a murdering spirit." And they prayed for it to come out. And it did, and plus a whole lot of others as well. And when I got home, and they opened about 2:00 in the morning, I think, I got home, and Lynn said my face was shining. It was like bright shining. I'd been cleaned out. But here's something interesting. My daughter, who's a worship leader in a church in Hamilton, they had a deliverance night. And one of the elders came up to her and said, "You've got a murdering spirit." And they prayed over her and said a friend. She rang me and said, "Dad, what's going on?" I said, "What's wrong, love?" And she said, I had a murdering spirit. And I said, "Oh, jingoes." I said, "I know where that came from. That came from me." Because she was my first and my oldest daughter. And I realized, now here's something, people. We need to be very careful what we say to our kids. Now, I didn't know all this when I had my own kids. I didn't. I've only learned it since I've really got after her and my other two kids and that grandkids. That's when I've learned the things now. We've got to be so careful what seed we speak into their life. And you know what I say to after her now? And I learned this from a preacher. I say to her in the mornings, not every morning, but when I can, "Honey, you're beautiful. You are very clever. You are very brilliant. And you belong to us, and you belong to the Lord, and you are going to succeed." And that's what I sowed. And one day she went through a trauma where she was. She loved water, and she loved having baths. And I shower once a year, but, you know, but she loved, she loved, she loved having baths. And one night, Lenny was putting her in the bath, and she screamed, and she leapt out of the bath. And I thought, what's wrong here? And then we took her to swimming, and she screamed that much, she upset the whole swimming class. And I thought, something's gone wrong. And what happened, I won't tell you what happened, but somewhere, not us, but somewhere, someone washed her down with cold water, and it just traumatized the kid. And I prayed and prayed, and the Lord showed us. And I said, "Lord, how do we deal with this?" And the Lord said, "Quote a scripture into her every day." And I did. And the scripture was 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And I tell you, in 3 weeks, that trauma gone, she'd stopped screaming, she loved swimming, and she loved water again. And it was the word of God. Now, people, please be careful what you say to one another, and be careful what you say to your children. And just something here for young ones who get married. When your wife is pregnant with a baby, now, I didn't do this because I didn't know, but I'll tell you what, I've seen the difference. When you're pregnant with a baby, even us older fellas, well, I'm not me, I'm a bit old now, but lay your hands on your wife's tummy, both ears, and pray over that baby. Speak the word of God to that baby and sing over that baby and say to that baby, we can't wait for you to come into the world for us to love you and embrace you. Because I'll tell you why. I saw a lady punching her stomach when she's pregnant uptown, and I grabbed her and I stopped her. And when she gave birth to a little baby, that baby ripped her open. It didn't want to come out. That baby didn't want to come out into the world. And yet, another lady did exactly what I've been saying, and the baby came, and the birth was beautiful. The baby was longing to be with mum and dad. So if you can just have that little seed, if anyone gets pregnant, pray over your baby, speak to your baby, sing to your baby, and put good seed into your baby, because they know exactly what we're doing. Right. So, just to go back a little bit, when he said that, I set a plan. And at 15 years old, one day the opportunity came. And we were in the house, and I picked up this knife, and I charged at him, and I whoop, and just as the knife was going in into him, this lady did a gridiron tackle on me and sent me flying. And I didn't achieve my goal. But I never saw him again either after that. But here's the thing. Even though I was born the way I was, God knew me and God protected me from killing that man. That was God. Because the knife was already going in. That was God. God said, no, boy, you're not going to do this. Even though I wasn't a Christian, he still knew me, and he still loved me, and he protected me from going to jail for murder. Praise God. I love you, Dad. I love you. Also, when I was at school, the teacher used to get me to stand in front of the class with a pointed black hat on, and it had D on it for dunce. And I used to have to stand in front of the class every day, all day, with this hat on, with the word D, and I was known as a dummy of the school. And I'll tell you what, that destroyed me too, because I grew up thinking that. And that's, we've got to be so careful, people. I'm sharing some of my life story because I want you to know the damage that can be done to us as young kids, and even us as teenagers and older even. You know, we've got to be so careful, people, what we say and do. I know, because I've been there. I've been there. I started working when I was about 10 and 11. My brother used to look after us because mum couldn't. And I used to, well, she didn't want it. I used to work on this farm, and at 3:30 in the morning, I used to milk 130 cows. I'd go to school. I come back and I'd milk 130 cows. And he said, well, if you're old enough to work, you're old enough to drink. And that's what happened. I started drinking at a very young age. And of course, when my darling wife met me, I was an alcoholic. It didn't take long to mess up our life, you know. That's the way we were in those days. And one day, I was walking through town, and Maria Harpu, her name was, come up to me and said, oh, there's a party at my place. Would you like to come? And I said, well, I never refuse parties, so yes, I'll come. So I got two flagons. They don't sell flagons now, I don't think. So I got two flagons under my arm. How the heck I found her place, I don't know. But anyway, I'm walking up to this lady. It was in Pulsion Street. These two flagons, and I knock on the door, and she opens the door, and I go, hey, hey. I walk in, and oh, goodness. All of a sudden, they're all sitting around, chairs, and they've all got little square books in their hands, black and brown books, and I've got these two flagons. And I'm thinking, if there's a hole here, I absolutely want to go down it. I really do. And she said to me, oh, can I have one of your flagons? I didn't know what to do. So I said, yeah, you can tip one out. And I'm like crying like mad, like, here it goes down the sink. And she's going to have the other one. I says, no way, lady, you're not having this one. But that night I heard the gospel. I heard the gospel. And I thought, okay, I'd love to be a Christian, but I'm not good enough. And so anyway, I went back to the bush where I was working. And my mum said to me, love, would you come to a home group? I thought, oh, I know what this is now. I know what these are all about, that little book and everything. So I said, yes, Mum, I'll come. So I went to the pub and I drank at the pub until I had Dutch courage. And I rolled into this home group. And that night, there's a scripture here. Where is it? The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And there's another one, it's John, 1 John 3, 8b. The reason the Son of Man appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, that night, when I went to this home group, yeah, I was blotted, I must admit, but I tell you what, I heard the gospel, and I still remember to this day, and it was in 1969, I still remember these four people letting a friend down through the roof, and I was so disgusted. I thought, how could they smash somebody's roof and let him down to that man there? He must be something special. This is me. Well, I wouldn't mind being like him. I wouldn't mind him, actually. But this is silly, but this is what I was doing. And all of a sudden, the preacher fella, his name was Mike, said, does anyone want to give their heart to the Lord? And I put up my hand. Yeah, and I stood up, and he came closer, and when he smelt the beer, he kind of like, oh, yeah, just another junkie. But I'll tell you what, that night when I put up my hand, I had such a powerful encounter. I felt Satan leave the throne room of my life, and I felt the Lord come in. It was a massive exchange, and it was powerful. And I had my nephew on my knee, and I squeezed him so hard he screamed. And it was only because I was crushing him, but I couldn't help it. Just the power of God came over me. And it was awesome. And then I had that vision, which you all heard a couple of weeks ago. But that night, God destroyed the works of the devil. The devil had no respect for me. He was dying to destroy my life. He destroyed my two brothers. And he was trying to destroy me. But God, I tell you, loves you, and he loved me, and he wouldn't let the enemy do that. That's how much he loves us. Hallelujah. And I got a little saying here, where you're looking, that's where you'll go. Guess who was in that home group? My wife. I saw this woman sitting over there, where you're looking, that's where you'll go. Like, woohoo! You know? And it was Lynn. So it's the first time I saw Lynn. Now, and here we go. As we began to go to church, and I got married, of course, and as we began to go to church, the Lord began to open doors. First of all, we did children's teaching, and then my wife and I were running three children's churches for the one church for 13 years. We used to go and speak at children's camps, and oh, it was massive. And then all of a sudden, I began to run a home group, and then I began to become the overseer of the home group. And then I began preaching and doing healing services, and everything was going well. And it was and pastors would ring up our senior pastor and say, look, can Barry and Lynn come? We're going on a sabbatical. We need someone to look after our church. And we would run other pastors' churches while they went on a sabbatical. And I can't even read and write and spell, for goodness sake, back then. And I thought, wow, this is really, really good. And then we were so excited at what God was doing in our lives. And God gave me a vision of old people. And Satan was scooping them into hell like this. And I screamed. And I went and told my senior pastor, and in the end, after a long while, what happened was we started this ministry called 60 Minutes, and it was beautiful. And Pastor Uli came and spoke at one of our cafe nights, All I can remember is two words he spoke. One was hello, and the other one was, God will bring a bus along your church, and if he trusts you, he'll stop that bus, let the people off, go and get some more. And I can remember crying out, Lord, please trust that this ministry of 60 Minutes. Please stop the bus. Please stop the bus. Now, this 60 Minutes was for elder people, but it got so powerful that even people in their 30s were coming. It just, you know, we sung all the old songs and it was out of this world, really. And over the period that it went, God brought six terminally ill people to 60 Minutes. Not at the same time, all at different times. All of them were emphysema, except one was cancer. And the last one was cancer, and he was so hard, man. It was like, oh. But anyway, they all gave their heart to the Lord at different times. And you know what? They all outlived what the doctor said, but then they went home to be with the Lord. But they all became born-again Christians, and they all walked. You know what? God did stop that bus, and he did trust us. And we had a team of my wife and another lady would go and pick them up from the hospital. We had a team that went and visited them at the visitation at the hospital. Man, it was awesome. It was great, eh, love? It was great. And I went to Fiji in India. And over in Fiji, I was leading a team. And Pastor Graham was leading it first, and he went to Tonga. So I carried on leading it. And we had a meeting, and these people, Fiji, bought me a big bowl. And I thought, wow, I'm going to be weeing all night if I drink that. And I took it back. And they brought it back. And I took it back. And they brought it back. And this Fijian lady came up to me and says, Barry. I said, what? They're honoring you as the leader. I went, oh, sorry. So I drank this big bowl of stuff and I was up all night. I didn't realize what they were doing and I kept taking it back all the time. But praise God, they were merciful. Hallelujah. They understood I was a bit, yeah. And then all of a sudden, in 2003, the wheels came off everything. I had a heart attack uptown, and praise God, I was able to drive to the hospital. But man, I thought it was my ribs. And I went into the hospital, and I said, oh, I can't breathe properly. I feel horrible. And this lady says, come with me. And they put me on the bed. And I'm going, it's only my ribs. It's only my ribs. True. Because I fell out of a tree at church trying to prune a thing, and I broke all my ribs down there. No, I had a heart attack. And then in 2003, I had a heart attack. And then my mother passed away. I had no job. My wife and I divorced. Our marriage blew up. I had no spiritual home to go to after 30 years. That was gone. And all that happened. And it was like, whoa. But I never once said to the Lord, why me? I didn't do that. You know what I said? One night I went to bed. This was about a two-year period, by the way. I had nowhere to go. Oh, before I do that, I said to myself one night, I'm going to paint the town red. I am going to paint this town red. I'm single, everything. I'm going to paint it red. So I had a shower, got dressed, hopped in my car. 20 minutes later, I was back home again. I didn't know how to paint the town red. I didn't even know where to go. And I thought, oh, that's a bit freaky. Anyway, so I thought I'll give it another try a couple of weeks. I'm going to paint this town red, says me. 20 minutes later, I was back home again. I didn't know what to do. So I gave that up. Anyway, with all that, no job. I had no job. I had no wife. I had no spiritual home. I was in that spiritual home for 30 years. And that door closed. And forgive the term, I don't know actually how to say it, but I was actually naked before the Lord. I had nothing to give him. Everything was taken off me. My mother, my wife, my kids, my church, my job, my home. I had nothing. I had to find a flat, and my darling wife helped me find a flat. And I remember one night I went to bed, And I said to the Lord, do you really love me? You know, do you love me? And I went to bed and I woke up the next morning, and all of a sudden, the power of God just came all over my bed and all over me. And it was like I couldn't move. And it was like, yes, I do love you, Barry. I do love you. And from that moment on, for another 4 years, I was in a desert place and I had no church to go to. So what I did, because I was a leader in the other church, I knew, don't stop going to church, because the moment you stop, you end up not going. So I went to all the different churches around Whanganui for 3 years. And then I got a phone call from somebody in this church by the name of Bob Paul. And he said, oh, Barry, do you want to come to faith? And I go, oh, no, thank you. I'm not going to no faith. I'm not going nowhere. And because I was wounded, I was broken. As Andrew knows, I was absolutely a mess. But I came. And I was sitting in the back there where I still am to this very day. After 12 or 13 years, I'm still sitting in the same seat. The shapes, no, I'll go there. But anyway, I'm still sitting in the same seat. And they were worshipping the Lord. And I just sat back and I thought, oh, I know this. This is lovely. This is beautiful. And I started drinking in the praise and worship. Now, 3 years, I had nothing. I just hung on to God because he said he loved me. And I didn't know where to go because no one wants you. And anyway, I came and I heard this beautiful worship, and then I heard the preaching, and I don't know who was preaching. And I thought, oh, this is me. I'm home. Anyway, I started coming. And then something went wrong with my head. And on Saturday night, I said to the Lord, I'm not going back. I'm sick of pastors. Sorry. I'm sick of Christians. They'll just stab me again when I'm not looking. I know what they do. I've been there. I know what it's like. I'm not going to church. I'll go to church tomorrow. And that's the last time. But I do believe in you. I won't let you go. So off I come to church and blow me candle out. Mrs. Townsend started prophesying. And I looked at her. I thought, you were outside my window. You heard everything I said. And she's prophesying answers to everything that I told the Lord. She didn't even know, ma'am. And Pastor Lee says, if anybody feels that's a word of God for them, come down. And I thought, well, I got no choice really. So I came down. And God showed, I don't know her name, Barbara, that I was like a broken ball of wool, but it was just ripped and mess everywhere. And it was just absolutely broken. Just, you couldn't even recognize it. And then all of a sudden it started tidying up to a nice ball of wool. And she said, the past will have no more power over your life. It is done, Barry. It is done. And I thought, oh, thank God. Thank God I've had enough. And then Mr. Townsend got up and says, get involved. I could have just grabbed him, but I didn't. And I thought, that's what happened last time I got involved. And then I said, oh, yeah, okay. And I sat back, and Eleni came up one day and he said, would you like to help me with the offering? I said, no, thank you. Go away. But him and I become really close friends after that. And but anyway, I come to the church and I said to Andrew, can I come to your church? Can I be a part of your church? I said, because I used to know Andrew in Sunday school when he was little. And he said yes, and we had a good talk, hey Andrew? And he said, go and talk to Illy. So I went to Illy's office one day, and he had this table, and it was all what do you call those things now? Savories were on the chock-a-block of savories. And I'm sitting there, I says, oh, Illy, because he knows me too, because he used to come to the church where I was at and pick up Pastor Graham, and him and Graham would go to some sort of meeting, and I'd be working in the church, you see. And I said, can I come to your church, Illy? I said, I'm not married, and my wife and I are divorced, but I said, you never know, God can do a miracle, and sure enough, we're remarried again. So, but at any rate, he said, yes, by all means, Barry, by all means. So I did, and I haven't looked back since. You know, God doesn't throw you away, people. When you, like Andrew's been preaching about a mess. For that 3 years, I hear something. I was in a wilderness and I was walking and I had a vision. And I was walking in this and I was tired after 3 years of, you know, and there's only one man that came to visit me out of that whole church that I spent 30 years as a leader and a preacher and everything. Only one man came to visit me every now and then, and that was Philip Beeling. Only one man. At any rate, God gave me this vision, and I was walking in this desert place, and I sat down. I was so exhausted, I sat down. And as I sat down, the Lord said to me, get up. Get on your feet and start walking. That's how the devil takes my children. When we sit down, we stop, and that's when we get snatched away. So I wearily got up and I started walking. The Lord said to me, I'll show you little signs where to go, but just keep walking, Barry. Don't stop. And I didn't. That's when Bob Paul rang up. That was one of the signs. Bob Paul rang up. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. I got two lovely scriptures that I want to finish with. And one is Hebrews 13b. I will never leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, fellas, ladies, people, gentlemen, children, you will, as Andrew said, if you aren't going through a mess, you certainly will sometime. Go through a mess. But remember this, God will never leave us nor forsake us. You know? And when I went through that horrible mess and I lost everything. I lost everything. But I didn't lose the main person, and that was the Lord. He protected me from going to jail for murder. Because he loved me. And I'll tell you what, when you go through a tough time, please keep looking up. I didn't cry out, why me, Lord? I said, do you still love me? That's all I wanted to know, because I actually never knew what love was. And I said, do you still love me? And when I woke up that next morning, I couldn't even get out of my bed. Remember this, the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you when you go through a tough time. The other one is, John 10:29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them or you out of my Father's hand. No one. You are born again. No one can snatch you out of God's hands. You are there. You're in his hands. The only one that can do that is you. You can say, I don't want this, and get out. But no one can snatch you. I better be careful. Whatever people may say about you or attack you or whatever, they cannot snatch you out of God's hands. And I want to say to you, out of that experience, out of all what has happened to me, and that's only some of my life, I didn't want to share it all because it's not very good, but I want to just say to you, I'm a stronger man. God has made me a stronger man. I understand hurting Christians now. Not the ones that go, oh, Pastor Andrew, can I get up and preach? Can I be a leader in your church? And he goes, oh, would you like to wash the toilets first, please? Oh, no, I'm out of here. And off they go. No, you know, that's ambition. But I want to say to you, it's when people get hurt, not through their own ambitions, just through something happening to them, I want to say to you, no one can take you from God. Or keep people just hang on to Jesus with all you can. Don't let him go, because he's all we got. When you got nothing, he is everything. And that's, you know, look at me now, you wouldn't know what happened back then. This is how good he is. He has restored and he's rebuilding our lives, Ava Love. And he's given us little baby Atahua to bring up. And I'll tell you something, people. I have learned to say positive things to that girl. And I'll tell you, she is going to be a success in life. You can see it in the now. You can see it in the now. And the other thing too, just before I finish, I remember when Graham asked me to preach my first sermon, I went to his office and we were praying, and I just collapsed. And praise God, you know what he said to me? I know exactly what's happening to you right now, Barry. I can't read. I couldn't write. My kids taught me how to spell. They taught me how to read. I can't write. Write. I print everything because I can't write. And all of a sudden, my past and everything came flushing back at me, and I just collapsed. And Graham got a hold of me. And he said, I know what's happening to you, Barry. And we stood up, and he laid his hands on here, and he prayed. And that was my first message. I tell you what, God never let me go. God will never let you go. He loves you more than you ever, ever can understand. He is a powerful God. And you are such an apple of his eye. You are his treasure. And all through that time of my life, losing my wife, losing my job, losing my spiritual home, losing my mum, nearly lost myself with a heart attack and all that happened. And he never, ever let me go. And you know what he does? He rebuilds. And as I said, and I'll finish with this, I'm a stronger man today, and I understand people better than I ever understood before. All because I had to go through that journey. Amen? Can we pray? Father, I know it's a little different message tonight, but it's your word, Father, and this is to glorify and honor you, what you can do in a life that there is no life. And tonight, Father, my prayer is that the seed that you sowed in people's hearts tonight, that they'll guard that seed. Lord, whatever seed you put in there, Father, I pray that they'll protect it, because that seed will begin to unpack in their hearts and begin to grow, and it will bring a harvest in their life. So, Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And I just want to say thank you, Daddy, for what you've done in my life. Lord, I wasn't worth a bean. And, Lord, you've turned me into a pearl. I give you honor and praise and glory for that, Father. No medicine, no drugs that I was taking, no alcohol. Lord, nothing like that can do that. Only you can do that, Dad. Only you can do that. And Lord, there's lives that you can touch and change because you're so powerful, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Andrew.